track 15. Our final piece is an article from the Norfolk Greats, and this month it's the fabulous Pablo Funk. He was a 19th century evil Knievel, famous for leaping on horseback lengthways over a carriage complete with horses in shafts. Norwich-born, he was an acrobat and horseman who became the first black circus owner in the country.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline. The Hendersons will all be there, late of Pablo Funk is there, what a scene.
Pablo Funke was the exotic professional name adopted by William Darby. Churchill's words, "A riddle wrapped inside an enigma," came to mind almost as soon as I started researching him. Churchill was referring to the motives of Russia, plus échange. But the same could be said of the early life of Funke. To begin with, although his memorial stone describes him as having been born in 1796, there is a general consensus that he was more likely to have been born in 1810. Although William Darby was born to his parents in 1796, he died as an infant. It seems probable that when they had another son in 1810, they gave him the same Christian names, a not unusual practice in those days of high infant mortality. The 1796 thesis depends on the existence of a birth certificate in Funke's possession, which may have been used by him to both disguise that his 1810 birth was recorded in a workhouse and to suggest a more mature age when seeking employment. Certainly 1810 seems the likelier date, and his birth in St. Andrew's workhouse might have been something he wished to disguise, given that his father was described on the 1796 birth data in a respectable role as a butler. The child born in 1810 was baptized on the day of his birth, which usually implies concern that the infant was unlikely to survive. His father may not have remained a butler, but some form of domestic service was a not unusual occupation for a black immigrant at the time. Funke's mother was a Norfolk girl, Mary Stamp of Great Riber. She was sufficiently educated to sign her own name on the marriage certificate, while his father, John Darby, simply made his mark. The confusion of dates continues. Most sources say that, having been orphaned at a young age, he was apprenticed, aged at about 10, to William Batty, a highly successful circus proprietor, who was, on his death, to leave a fortune of over £500,000, equivalent to over £50 million today. Certainly 10 was not then an unusual age to become an apprentice, and Funke worked with Batty for some years. But at the date of the suggested apprenticeship, Batty would have been only about 20 himself, and he did not become a circus proprietor until 1836. Indeed, the first record of Funke as a circus performer was in 1828, 7 years after the suggested date of the apprenticeship. But whatever the truth of his birth date, his apprenticeship and his first professional appearance in Norwich, cited by some as 1821 and others as 1840, there is no doubt that Pablo Funke was a remarkable athlete and horseman, at some stage as a highly successful businessman and a generous supporter of fellow performers in need. This last attribute led to the Funke name becoming much better known in the 1960s when John Lennon wrote of being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, having seen a poster in an antique shop advertising a Funke performance in 1843 to raise funds for William Kite, a former employee who had fallen on hard times. The song was released on the Sgt. Pepper album, but this track was banned by the BBC because some of the words were believed to be slang for heroin. If Funke had, at birth, seemed fragile enough to demand immediate baptism, then his fragility did not last long. He proved a formidable athlete and developed a range of skills which were to bring him fame, though not, in the long run, fortune. Initially, he seems to have focused on non-equestrian activities like tightrope walking and acrobatic feats, but soon he was displaying extraordinary skills on horseback and gaining recognition as an exceptional trainer of circus horses. In 1847, the Illustrated London News reported his performance as one, quote, "we have not only never seen surpassed, but never equalled." Many circuses were then travelling shows, spending brief periods in market towns, which they would enter with a parade of animals and tumblers to attract crowds. The animals were not always cooperative. My great-grandfather recorded in his diary the occasion when an elephant eluded its keepers in Dereham and was found enjoying the contents of someone's larder, having demolished a window in order to insert its trunk. In April 1865, his diary entry reinforced the extreme youth of some performers, telling of a conversation between his daughter and a 10-year-old circus performer, an excellent equestrian, tightrope walker and dancer. "What a veritable phenomenon," he wrote, although he did express concerns about the moral hazards of her life. Other circuses travelled to larger cities, often hiring existing buildings capable of temporary conversion to a ring format, or, in some places, purpose-built circus arenas. One of just two remaining is the Hippodrome in Great Yarmouth. Fanke, he adopted the name in 1828, had been a star attraction for both Batty and the equally distinguished Andrew Duckrow. But he set up on his own in the early 1840s, mainly touring medium-sized towns like Preston and Warrington. He also toured in Scotland and Ireland, but the emphasis was definitely on the industrial Midlands and the north of England. In March 1848, Fanke's circus was at Leeds at a purpose-built site, King Charles Croft. This had been a circus amphitheatre for well over 50 years, but during a performance on March 18th, there was a terrible accident when part of the building collapsed, causing many injuries and one fatality. That fatality was Fanke's wife, Susanna, who had been looking after the takings in a room directly below a gallery seating about 600 people. The gallery collapsed and she was struck on the head, being pronounced dead at the local hotel to which Fanke carried her. In the confusion, someone made off with the evening's takings of more than £50. Fanke was reportedly devastated by his wife's death. She was buried a few days later with great pomp. More than 30 of Fanke's horses were in the procession, which, reported the Leeds Mercury, was watched by more than 10,000 locals. However, little more than a week after the accident, the circus had moved on to his next site, and within 2 months he remarried. His new wife, some 20 years younger than him, was Elizabeth Corker, a circus equestrienne with whom he was to have 2 children, both of whom, with children of the first marriage, were to make careers in the circus. His business career had its ups and downs. Among the investors who helped support him were Norwich brewer Richard Bullard and William Batty, his former apprentice master, but all did not go well. Fanke was declared bankrupt in 1858. Batty, who replaced Bullard as an investor, negotiated an early version of sale and leaseback, buying Fanke's circus and leasing it back to Fanke to run. Fanke, not a careful man, it transpired, had not kept proper accounts and had continued to pledge business assets as security even after he had sold them. The court found that his affidavits about his financial situation amounted to perjury. Despite this, he was able to continue to run his shows in some of the smaller venues until the mid-1860s. Sadly, when he died in 1871, he was living in poverty in a Stockport pub. His widow was left penniless, and when sued by one of Fanke's creditors, had to rely on the personal generosity of her lawyer to settle a £5 debt. Fanke may have been an incompetent administrator and a less than reliable money man, but he was a fine athlete and equestrian whose early successes should not be overlooked. The secrets of his success were both the excellence of his shows and his genius at public relations. He recognised the need to promote his performances and used posters giving notice of his appearances very effectively. He often also donated generously to local charities in the areas he visited and sometimes discounted the ticket costs for those in need. Further, he frequently arranged shows for the benefit, not just of Mr. Kite, but for others in the same profession who had fallen on hard times. His amiability was not, however, universal. Some of his apprentices absconded, unhappy with their treatment. Even his own son did so more than once. But his achievement, in an age when racial prejudice was rife, was immense. To become, as he did, the widely recognised proprietor of a much-loved circus at a time when such entertainments were hugely popular, was no mean feat for the Norwich workhouse boy.